Welcome to the Faith Seeking Understanding podcast. This is Louis Jovell from Melbourne, Australia, bringing you a more of a Bible-based or God-based knowledge. And last time we were together, we saw how the Bible was composed, made. And this time around, we're going to talk about the main subject of the Bible, which is God. Although humans play an important role in the Bible, that's why we have there the origins of humanity, it is God who is the main subject, who he is. And notice that I'm using a male pronoun for God. Who he is, what he does, and above all, what he does for fallen humanity, to bring it back to him. God, as a concept, varies from culture to culture and philosophy to philosophy. Let me just mention some here. Theism. Theism is, and I want to tell you how to write it because it sounds very much like deism and theism, the and the. But so this is theism with a T. Theism is the belief mainly found in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam that there is an all-powerful God who is involved with his creatures. And I'm just making it a very short definition. Of course, there's more to say about that, but I just want to make it short and concise. That's theism with a T. Now, deism with a D comes from the 18th century, and it explains that there must be a deity, but he is like a watchmaker. He set things in motion and let them run its course. So in this case, God, as opposed to theism, God does not get involved with his creatures or his creation. Next, polytheism. That's the belief that there are many gods, but no God has the ultimate power. And this is interesting because in Greek mythology, you see that you serve the gods because you never know when you're going to need a god. You give them sacrifice. And modern polytheism is mainly found in India, where you have a lot of gods. The next one is animism. Animism is the creation, like trees, rocks, and other such things as animals, have spiritual insights and capabilities. So this is mainly found in Africa and also in indigenous populations here in Australia and also some other countries. But mainly in Africa and South America, there's a lot of animism. So there's a tree in the village, and the tree has certain spiritual powers, and that's what they believe. Just as an example. In pantheism, all of creation is part of the divine. So everything is part of the divine, therefore God is everything. There's not many people who believe that, but ecologists, some Greenpeace people may be into pantheism. For Christians, the concept of God is even more unique. We conceive God as one, but this God is made up of three different individuals, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. This is unique to Christianity. So Christianity is the only religion that believes that our God is one, yet he is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the first centuries of Christianity, there were many discussions and misunderstandings as to the nature of God. Some wanted to follow their polytheism from their pagan days. And remember, we're talking about people in the Greco-Roman world that still follow Greece religion or Greek religion and also Roman religion, which is actually a copy of the Greek one. So polytheism from their pagan days. So these Christians, they wanted to continue with the same sort of thinking. Others wanted to revel against it and deny that Jesus had any divinity as well as the Holy Spirit. So in the first centuries, the main issues were that, is Jesus God? Is Jesus any type of divine being? And later on, there also was a discussion if the Holy Spirit was also part of the deity. The Bible reveals to us that what God wants us to know about him from the first words, Genesis 1:1, where it says, if you remember, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us what God is doing in creation and in us. God has only chosen to reveal certain things to us in the Bible. Deuteronomy 29, chapter 29, verse 29, and 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And we're going to be reading a bit of Bible. I was just going to quote it, but I think it's good to read so we know what's going on. And we'll first go to this passage of Deuteronomy 29:29, and this is very important because this is the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is going to tell us what God wants us to know. The secret things belong to our God, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version again. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us, to our children forever, to observe all the words of this law. And then in 1 Corinthians 4, 6, and this is a passage that I like a lot, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, says the following. I have applied all this to Apollos and myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn through us the meaning of the saying, nothing beyond what is written, so that no one of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another. So, nothing beyond what is written. That's the idea of Christianity and also of Judaism, that we should not go beyond what's written in Scripture. The Bible tells us how God has dealt with humanity and gives us a hint of how He continues dealing with humanity today. And I'm going to be reading a lot from now on. To make things to be understood in a better way. We're going to talk about five things, and then we're going to be done. But these are very important things that we should know about the Christian view of God. First one, Trinity. As mentioned before, Christians believe that God is composed of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we find this in Matthew 28, verse 19, and I'm gonna read it to you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So it's the name of the Father. No, it's in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that. It refers to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and only go with one name. So this is the concept of one being, yet a being that is called Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and that we also know that they are three persons because we refer to them as such. The other verse that I like to read from this, from the Trinity, and I'm only giving a basic, very basic view, and I'm not going to explain each attribute of God that we're going to be looking at. I just want to introduce you to them. The grace, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. So again, this is the confession of the church, and also the confession of the Old Testament, which we can find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. God does not change in the New Testament. So if you think, oh, well, you're talking about three in the Old in the New Testament, yet in the Old Testament only talks about one. In Matthew 28:19, we are not told to baptize in three names, but in the name. And this is in the name only refers to one person, not to a whole lot of people. Second, God is creator, self-existence. As we mentioned in Genesis 1:1, It is said that God created the heavens and the earth. God was never created. And this is in Psalm 90, verse 2. So God, one of the attributes or peculiarities of God is that he is the only uncreated being. So in Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or over you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So God has always been. And this is picked up again in Colossians in the New Testament. I'm trying to give you a Old Testament and a New Testament view of these things. So in Colossians 1, 15 to 20, it's a bit longer reading, but we're going to read it. We're going to see who created, when it says God, who actually created. Who in the Godhead, we call it. The Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who in the Godhead created, you know, things? It says, First Colossians chapter 1, there's no First Colossians. There's 1 Colossians, verse 15. He is the image of the visible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And who died on the cross? Jesus. So who are we talking about here? Jesus. Jesus is the one who created everything. When the Bible, when Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created, we have more detail here in the New Testament. And who was that God? The Son, sent by the Father to create. God is omnipotent. This has been often misunderstood. God cannot do what goes against his own nature. So God cannot sin. God cannot lie. God cannot call a circle and a square to explain that. So God is omnipotent. It doesn't mean that God can do whatever he wants. When we talk about God's omnipotence, we are talking about his authority and control of creation. And we see again, if we go back to the Old Testament, in Psalm 115, verse 3, we see that. Says, our God is in the heavens, he does whatever he pleases. But this whatever he pleases doesn't mean that he can do things that go against his being, let's say, like dying. Jesus, that's why we know that Jesus came back from the dead. God cannot die. So when we say whatever he pleases means that he is not going to go against his own decrees, against his own laws, against his own being. God is love, so he cannot be hating people, at least not forever, because he gets mad. God gets mad. God still can demand justice and can demand obedience from his creatures. Well, and he accomplishes everything he wills. Ephesians 1:11 says the following: in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. So according to his counsel and will, God. No one's going to come and, I remember the book of Job says, no one's going to come and cancel God. God knows everything. So the next one is God's omnipresence. This is number 4. And again, we go back to the Psalm, and this is Psalm 139. We're going to see this. Verses 7 to 10 says this: where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, Sheol is the place of the dead, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. So God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. When we think about temples where we see God, or a God living there, from the Christian point of view, He is not really living there. Even from the Jewish point of view, He's not really there. But there's a representation of our God, of the God of the Bible, somewhere, and that represents. And of course, God comes down in Old Testament times. So He did come down, and He used to manifest Himself among His people. Finally, God's omniscience, and this is like I said, these are words that we don't use anymore, like omnipresence, omnipotent, omniscience. But omniscience means that God knows everything, and this is one of God's attributes. God has to know everything. A God who doesn't know everything, then it's weird that we could call God such a God. Although, like I said, in the book in Greek mythology. In Greco-Roman mythology, the gods sometimes they don't know everything. So, but in the point of view, the Christian God, the Judeo-Christian God, He knows everything. In Psalm 147 says that 147 verse 5 says the following: "Great is our Lord and abundant in power; His understanding is beyond measure." So He knows everything, and He knows everything about nature. He knows everything about His creation, but He also knows everything about us, about human beings. And we see this in Acts 15:8. We read the following: "And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us." So God knows the human heart, and no one, like I said before, no one will give God counsel. A God who needs counsel from His creatures, again, it doesn't look like an all-powerful God. And this we find this in Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 33 and 36, and we read it: "All the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Or who has given a gift to Him to receive a gift in return? Far from Him and through Him, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." So no one has ever given Him a gift. No one has ever, God has never had a counselor. No one has known the mind of God. So if we pretend to know the mind of God, sometimes some people do. We search as the best we can, but we cannot say, yes, we know the mind of God, exactly what He wants, because no one has done that before. For the Christian perspective, then, we know about God because of the Bible. Jesus came from God to reveal, so to say, God from the inside. That's why when he came, he commanded us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So He came to reveal to us that God is one, yet God, within God, the Godhead, there are three persons: God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The whole story of the Bible deals with how God deals with two individuals and their descendants, Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us how God acts and how He is. Well, I hope this helps a bit. And this is the Faith Seeking Understanding podcast. And I invite you to follow me on YouTube. I invite you also to follow me in Anchor FM, where this podcast lives. I invite you to also follow LuisJovell.net, the English-speaking blog that I have, because I have a Spanish-speaking one. .com is the Spanish one. But so I invite you to follow me on this platform so you don't miss any of these short studies. But I hope that they will help you seek more understanding. So until next time, keep seeking understanding.